these cards left. Last week, when we were in Conneaut, we drove around, we broke up in groups, and wherever we could put them under windshield wipers, we put them in paper boxes. Is there anybody that would take these and do that and get rid of all of them before? And I don't want you to fight over them now. Thank you, Xavier. Get rid of those for us, okay? I would appreciate it if you'd be in prayer with us for Sunday service. We want the Lord to help us. Hopefully you've invited somebody. I picked up a hitchhiker this week. My wife said, "You're going to get killed." I said, "Well, I'm going to go one way or another." I was on my way to Ashtabula. I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Ashtabula." I said, "Well, that's great. I'm going there too." We got to talking. He just came up here from, his truck broke down. He came up here from Florida, and he was going to get the parts for his truck to get him fixed, and we just talked and kind of helped him line up a few job interviews, and then I asked him several times, I gave him a card, told him I'd love for him to come to the service on Sunday. He's supposed to be here, and he followed through on everything else so far. When I lined up the interview for him, he was right there, and he said, "I'm a man of my word, and so I'm trusting that he'll be here." Amen. And then we've got some other folks that we've invited that I believe will be here. Where's Alexis? Did she step out? Someone's pointing up here, but she's not up here, and there are people pointing over there. And okay, that's what happens when you get too many people pointing. If you have your Bibles, would you open them up to Luke chapter 17, verse 11? Now I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask you to tune in for me tonight. I'm going to ask you not to get up and move around and go out. I would like you to really grab a hold of what I want to share with you. And I believe the Lord will help us. He will if we allow him. The difference between some of these kids tonight and some adults is kids are just willing to open up their heart. Adults aren't. That's why the Bible says, except you become as little children, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Can I tell you what scares me? Scare is the wrong word. What troubles my spirit is people that have been under this preaching, whether here or somewhere else, they know the truth, yet they just continue to live the same old way, not trying to change anything, not heeding warnings or nothing. Those things just trouble me, because you do realize that you are blazing your trail to eternity with every decision you make. Every decision. This is not, it's not a game. The season that we're getting ready to celebrate is not so we could put up little mangers and little fake babies everywhere. That's not what it's about. It's a reminder, a gentle reminder, a precious reminder. So Luke chapter 17, verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go and show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger." He said unto him, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." I want to preach to you for a few minutes, if you allow me to have your attention, on the title, "Settling is for Pioneers." Settling is for pioneers. Nicole, you going to pray for us? Go ahead.
Lord God, I pray for this service right now, God. I pray that it won't
just be another
Wednesday,
Jesus.
God, that we can
hallelujah.
Get something from this service, God. We can
yes.
apply to our life, God.
Jesus,
God, I know
glory.
People think Sundays just are
glory,
more, God, but I pray that you do
glory,
something
glory,
today,
glory.
God. God, we'll do something
Jesus,
amazing,
I love
God.
You,
Jesus,
Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like you to elbow your neighbor and say, it's time to pay attention. Okay, that went over not well. The first winter for American settlers was marked by extreme cold, starvation, disease, shelter shortages, high death rates, and they say many settlers did not survive. The Mayflower arrived in November 1620. Too late to prepare for winter, many of the settlers lived on a ship, on the ship. They had crude, unfinished huts, the ones that came to land. The damp conditions led to illness. Supplies were already low from crossing the Atlantic. There was no time to plant crops. The diet consisted mostly of salted meat, hard biscuits, what little they could gather, hunger, weakened immune systems, and morale. The greatest killer during this time wasn't the cold, it was illness. Common diseases like pneumonia, tuberculosis, scurvy, and infections from malnutrition. Out of 102 settlers, roughly 45 died during the first winter, and they say that sometimes 2 to 3 people died per day at the worst points. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I wouldn't want to live during that time. I wouldn't have wanted to be one of the settlers. Here we are, 200 and, somebody help me. 1620 to now, is that, are we almost at 400 years? You guys left that answer to a man that failed math 3 years in a row. I'm not really sure who I'm preaching to tonight. Nearly 400 years later, America has the largest economy in the world still. It is still the envy of many, many people and nations around the world. We still have the strongest military than anybody else in the world. We have our problems. I'm just talking about some of the good things. We are a very industrialized nation. We have some of the highest and tallest and most beautiful buildings and landscapes in the world. Most people would rather live today than they would have been on that ship in 1620. Would you agree? We thank God for technology. All the things that technology does, all the fun, if you please, that it can offer. You know, now we can turn our lights on and off by our phones, open our garage doors, unlock our cars, start them up, all that good fancy stuff, which is nice. They're making self-driving cars. They have flying taxis that are now in service in some states. They're small, mini helicopter type-ish looking like cars with rotors, like 4 or 5 different rotor wings that tilt. It's, you know, whatever. We've come a long way. I would venture to say there's probably not one person in the United States of America that would say, take me back and put me on the Mayflower. I would love to live just like that. I would love to be at risk of dying of disease. I would love to freeze to death most of the winter. I'd love to eat hard biscuits and nothing else. I would love to have quick, thrown together shelters as my house during a bitter, cold, winter. I'd love to not have the luxuries that we have. I'd love to have ratty-tat clothes that are torn and worn and whatever else I can throw together to cover myself up with. I would love to deal with frostbite, and I would love to deal with tuberculosis, and I would love to lose some of my own children to some of these diseases. I would just love to go back to 1620. There's nobody that would say that. Nobody. The problem is, when I read some of these, I think of the spiritual condition of many people. I speak of people who are living off the scraps that the world offers. I think of people that are spiritually hungry. Their spiritual immune system is weakened. Their morale is at an all-time low. People that have spiritual diseases like bitterness and anger, jealousy and unforgiveness, things that eat away at their soul. Yet they do nothing about it. People that are starving to death from spiritual malnutrition. Why? Because they won't make a trip to the altar. Because they won't develop a prayer life at home. And we watch week after week and year after year people go into their spiritual death. We watch them sail off, and we warn them, and we plead with them, and we beg them. For me, as early as today, the longer you stay away, the more unlikely you are to ever return. We have become spiritual settlers. We're okay with a rat-tat walk with God thrown together. We're okay living with all these emotional and spiritual diseases. We're okay allowing these things to dominate our lives. We're okay not having true joy and true peace. We're like the 9 lepers. We're okay because God stopped some things. Now hang on, I'm going to get real personal for just a minute, so you're going to have to buckle up. We're okay because God stopped the adultery, but he never emotionally healed me from it. We're okay because God stopped the abuse, but he never healed me from it. And I'm okay coming to church every week, settling for less than what God has for me. I'm okay just with a nice little touch. If I'm lucky, maybe I'll let a tear roll down my cheek. I'm okay not letting God in, keeping myself locked up tight because I don't want to get hurt again. I'm okay living like that. I am okay being a spiritual settler. I'll settle for whatever I get. I'll settle for mediocre. I'll settle for a little tingle and a little touch. I'll settle for a moment of joy and a moment of peace from here and there, but I'll never become the America in 2025. I'll never move beyond the spiritual huts. I'll never move beyond the spiritual Mayflowers. I'll never move beyond the hard biscuits and as far as my spiritual diet, where I have moved up to the sincere milk of the word. Or the bread of life, I'll just settle. We have become settlers. Many people have learned to settle. The word settle has a lot of different meanings to it, but I want to give you 3 that apply to what I'm preaching to you. The first one is to migrate to and organize an area or territory, to colonize. You say, well, how could you apply that? Very simple, very easy. It's easy for me. I'm smart. I have a 10th grade education. You migrated to your house. You built your little world there. And that's it. That's where it ended. You never want to move beyond it. You never want to be like the Jeffersons, moving on up to the sky. Finally getting a piece of the pie. Half of you don't even know what I'm talking about. That's where you migrated, and that's where you settled. It also means to cause to take up residence. That means you have taken up residence right where you are living, with never any desire or ambition to have more. Now, you may want more. The settlers might have wanted more, but it doesn't mean they're willing to work for more or do what they needed to do to have more. And so they became settlers. Some of them never ever, most of them, if any of them ever got to see what America would even become in 20 years rather than 400 years. It also means to furnish a place with inhabitants or settlers. And so we furnish our little homes and our little lives, and it becomes our world. And we never want to move beyond that world, whether it's because it's become your safe place or it's because you just hate the world so much. I don't want to be around people. Whatever the reason is, you become a settler. And I'm here tonight to tell you, as long as you're going to be in this church, God's not going to let people settle. You're going to have to decide that you're going to have more, or you're going to wind up moving on to somebody that will let you live a life of settling. Because we are not pioneers. Settling is for pioneers. Settling is not for the people of God. That is not the book that we preach. It's not the word that we read. God said, I will do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. He didn't say settle. So you cannot become content with the pain in your life just because God stopped it. What do you mean by that? Well, he stopped the immediate pain. To put that into context, physical abuse ended. But all the scars and all the wounds are still there, but you've decided to settle. You've decided to settle, and I'll live with that because I can put on some lipstick and I can put on a nice outfit, and sometimes men and women. And I'll make everybody think I'm okay. And I'll shut anybody out that tries to get in. I'll never let. And I'm just going to settle right here. I'm okay now. God stopped the pain. He stopped the disease. He stopped the adultery. I'm just going to settle right here. And I'm not going to ever let God do anything more in my life. I'm okay coming. I'm okay singing a couple songs. I might even start tithing someday. I might even get involved. I might do some things once in a while. As a man told me years ago who's long been backslidden on his way to hell, he said, I want to come to church and sit in the back. Don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to participate. I'll give my tithe. I'll do all this, and then I just want to go home when I'm done. A settler. A settler. But that's not the word of God. That is not what God has planned for our lives. He did not put himself in the flesh of a human being and trust himself as an infant to the hands of another man and another woman and to the cruelty of this world. He didn't put himself in that vulnerable position and trust himself, the deity of Christ, just a common man, just so we could settle. He did not give his life for this gospel. He did not die a cruel and horrible death so we could live the life of settlers, so we could live in spiritual shacks and huts, and so we could settle with a little touch. No, he came so that we might have life and life more abundantly. He came so the captive could be set free. He came so we could know joy unspeakable and be full of glory. He came so we could shout unto God with a voice of what? Of triumph, not a voice of settling, not a voice of contentment, but a voice of triumph. Why? Because we become overcomers through Christ Jesus. Not settlers. We're not settlers. We're not settlers. I've come to you to plead with you to not be content with God just stopping the pain and the heartache in your life. Achan coveted the possessions as a way of moving beyond Egypt. They finally got into Canaan. They had their first great victory. Achan was ready to move on from that old lifestyle. But he was ready to move on in a different way. God, I could preach. Do you know how many people... I wanted to preach about being worldly tonight, but that just didn't seem to fit the Christmas season. I got the message ready, just wasn't allowed to preach it. You know how many people, how many Achans that I see in this life? Their idea of moving on from their past is to get a good job, make good money, have a good amount of money so I can just fly anywhere whenever I want. I can go on vacation whenever I want. I can buy whatever I want. That's their idea. Never give it to God. Never, ever, ever let God move them beyond that. No, they become spiritual Achans. Achan, he took the goodly Babylonian garment. Achan wanted the nicest clothes. He took 200 shekels of silver. He wanted to have plenty of money in the bank. Not a crime, don't get me wrong. A wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight. Just a little bit wasn't enough. And this Bible says, then I coveted them and I took them. You see, Achan's idea of moving on past Egypt was to now live for the things that the world had to offer. And so he saw his opportunity and he grabbed these things up and he scooped them up and he buried them in his tent so he could have them for a rainy day. So nobody would know he was there, and he could pull out a coin and go to Red Lobster whenever he wanted. And he could pull out a coin and go shopping whenever he wanted. And then, hey, he's going to buy you the nicest presents at Christmas, and he'll be the envy of everybody. You'll lament your cheap little gifts while Achan brought in the best stuff. And everybody wanted to go to Uncle Achan's house because he always buys us really good stuff. This is what Achan wanted when he took these things and he coveted them. God, I'm so sick and tired of people living on scraps when God has a feast. I'm tired of people that are living the same way and they won't change anything. They just want to get by day after day after day. And God is standing in the shadows saying, I've got more for you than what you can even imagine. It might not be worldly gain, but it will be heavenly gain. It will be spiritual gain. I was thinking about wisdom and a sound mind this week. And I don't care what you think. I think I'm a pretty smart person. I do. And I think God has given me wisdom, and I'm not saying that in a boastful manner, because I was thinking about it and I thought, God, only you could give somebody like me a level of wisdom that could help me do the things that you called me to do. Only you could put words in a man's mouth that he otherwise would never find. Only you could give answers from somebody that never had a college education and give answers to people that have. Only God can do that, because somewhere along the line, I decided I don't want to be a settler. I want to be victorious through Christ Jesus. I want God to do more with me than what I ever imagined he could. I don't want to be a settler. I don't want to be a settler. Settler is for pioneers. It's not for the people of God. You're not a pioneer. You're not a pioneer. You're a child of God. You're not a pioneer. You're a child of God. And so, one man, think about it. We know the text. One person, one out of 10% of all those that received a miracle, only 10%. You think it's going to be any different today? No, because people are people. Only 10%. Now watch this. This is key. I'm telling you the answer to every of life problems right now in this next simple sentence. One person was made whole. God not only took the disease and stopped it, but now he healed the body and the flesh from the disease. He took everything that would be obvious and could still label him as a leper, even though the leprosy had stopped. Oh, God, I could preach to you. How many people come to the altar and they pray through to the Holy Ghost, but they still have the same bitterness and the same pain? When the world sees them, they think, if that's what God is and that's what church is, I don't really need none of that. Because they still see the effects of the spiritual leprosy in your life. Nothing has changed. Your body is still eaten up by it. Your mind is still eaten up by it. The effects of it are still showing every decision that you make and everything that you say and your inability to trust anybody. And one, I don't even know if he wanted more. I don't know. All I know is he came back. He didn't ask for anything else. But he knew who the one was that stopped the disease in his life. Now listen to me. I don't know what you know. The song says, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. You can talk if you want to during service. You can tell jokes. Kids up here praying, crying. You can go crack a little funny to somebody and laugh while it's happening. But not me. I've come to praise the Lord. I want to give God everything I've got. I want to give him my last breath, if that's what it takes. If I'm tired, I want to push out any praise I can. If I'm sick, I still want to push out any worship that I can. I want to squeeze out any last drop of my strength and anything that I can give him. Why? Because he's the one that stepped into my life and he stopped the disease and he stopped the suffering and he stopped the pain and he stopped the, but he didn't go, he didn't stop there, but he continued to do a work in my mind and he continued to do a work in my heart and he continued to insist that I not walk around with bitterness and anger and pain and jealousy. Come on, somebody. And so, I don't know about you, what I decided when I would get to church, I just wanted to praise the Lord. That's all I wanted to do. I don't care about the whiners that say you don't need to do that, you don't have to be that loud and all that stuff. You don't matter to me. I'm going back. I'm not just talking to this congregation. No, I knew what he had done in my life, and I knew who he was to me, and I decided I want to give him some worship, and I want to praise him because of what he, listen to me. There's only one thing that's stopping you from being made whole. One thing. And what is that? It's worship. The only thing that's causing you to live like a settler is the fact that you won't get up and worship the Lord. God, if I could tell you the amount of people that I've watched backslide over the years, they'd never get out of that chair. Once in a blue moon, they drag themselves up. And sometimes, if you're lucky, they let God touch them and tears would roll down their cheek. But it wasn't a regular thing for them. Nope. No, it was. That was the occasional trip to the grocery store. It was nothing more than that. They were okay being a settler. They were okay still carrying the pain. And I'm going to tell you, do you know why people are okay carrying pain and bitterness in their heart? Do you know why? Because they feel justified in doing it. I have a right to be mad. I have a right to be upset. You don't have a right to be nothing. You don't have a right to hold grudges. Jesus didn't hold one against you. And he has a right if he wants to take that same route that you and I do sometimes. I'll tell you what we have a right to do. We have a right to praise the Lord. We have a right to decide, I'm going to shake off all the junk the world has placed upon me. I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm not going to live with carrying this anymore. God, I wish somebody would hear me. Ask yourself, why is it so hard to get out of your chair sometimes and come to this altar? You know why? I'm going to tell you exactly why. I need a couple guys. I'll tell you why. Now, listen to me. Don't leave now. Come here. I want you to hang on me. Now, figures, you got to get the three biggest guys in the church. You got to walk up there. Because they knew where I was going. That's why. And they thought it was funny. Come on, get on me. I want you to just hang on me. Hang on me. Here I am. I'm trying to go to church. Now, I put the weight on me. I'm going to carry. And I'm trying. That hurts a little bit there. It's hurting my back. But I want to come to church anyway, but you know what? I'm still carrying bitterness. I'm still carrying anger. I'm still carrying pain and heartache. And so when I get there, it's a whole lot easier just to sit down and stay in my seat. Because then I feel like I accomplished something. I came. Well, I came, Pastor. Well, my God, have mercy. Jesus didn't die, and he wasn't crucified on a cross, so you could just come. I'm not criticizing you. I'm trying to tell you there's more. I'm trying to tell you Jesus does not want us living as settlers. And so you got to break free of this stuff. But when you drag yourself to the altar, no matter how tough it might be, and then sometimes you might get up there, and you might not even have the strength to lift your hands, but then somebody comes up beside you, not you're the pain, get back behind me, somebody else comes up beside you, and they see me struggling, and they grab my hands, and when I have no strength, they lift them, because there's always got to be an Aaron and a Hur that will help Moses through the battle, that will help him have the victory. And when you let, but if you're not willing to go to the rock and stand there and lift your hands until God gives you some victory. You're going to spend your life being a spiritual settler. They hurt my back. Gerard, I forgive you. And so I was praying, meditating earlier in the week, and I felt like the Lord just kind of stopped me on this text just for a few moments and just began to show me more clearly that some people are just okay being settlers. And I've noticed that people that seem to suffer the most internally, they're the people that aren't worshiping at the altar. They're the people that are just willing to let, thank you, honey, the living, willing to let well enough be. I've never been built that way. I'm not saying that to do, I've not been built that way. I've not sought worldly ambitions and worldly success, even though it is nice sometimes to have a little more money. But I've not sought those things. I've always wanted to do anything that God would lead me to do. And when God can pick you up above your circumstance, when he can pick you up higher than your past, and God can begin to stabilize you to the point where now you begin to be a true blessing, not just one that speaks, but anointed by the Holy Ghost to now begin to minister into other people's lives. And then when he continues to expand that base, why? Because I didn't want to settle back there. I didn't want to settle when I first came to the altar. I didn't want to settle after he filled me with the Holy Ghost. I didn't want to settle after I got a good job making good money. I didn't want to settle once I became the youth leader. I didn't want to settle once he moved me into outreach. I didn't want to settle once we began to call myself pastor. I didn't want to settle in the fire hall. I didn't want to settle in the conversation station. I didn't want to settle in the little building over there in Dodgeville Road. And then I didn't want to settle here. And I didn't want to settle when we built that, and I didn't want to settle when we built that, and I didn't want to settle when we built the parking lots, and I don't want to settle when we get the next edition on. Why? Because God did not make us to be settlers. He made us to continue to thrive in the will of God in our lives. Yes, life happens. I was talking to Brother Richard this week. You know Brother Richard Simpson, or last week. We talk from time to time. He's been a tremendous, he and his wife, blessing to our church. He bought this cabin that was in his family for a long time. And he sent me pictures of it and everything had overgrown. I shared with you the story of the rock that he dug up a couple years ago. I shared that story. And as he began to mow down these fields that had grown up, grown over for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, they found this big boulder. And he began to talk to his sisters, and they said, that's the boulder that Dad used to go out, and he used to sit there and pray for his family. And he had spent 2 years himself just going in there, remodeling this old cabin. He called me this week, and he said, my cabin burnt down. He said, it burnt down to the ground. I don't remember why I was telling you that. There was a reason. I'll find it. The most frustrating thing of pastoring is when you can't get people out of the settling stage. It's so frustrating. You see so much more for them. Why? Because you've seen what God has done in your own life, and you know that God can do so much more. I look at some of you, and I'm going to walk so you don't walk. I look at some of you, and I envision you 10 years down the road where you're going to be. What is God going to have done with you? I don't envision being gone. But I look 10 years down the road, and I think, where are they going to be in 10 years? I see where they're at now. We're in 10 years. And my hope and prayer, Angela, is in 10 years, you're looking back and you're saying, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Sometimes he does it, and if we're not careful, we don't pause to even recognize it. I've prayed for a long time for God to do a miracle in my body. I said, God, I want a miracle that I can share with other people. And I prayed it, and I went on, and I realized, I don't know, several months back that, man, my back like never hurts anymore. I'm being honest with you. I mean, once in a while, it'll ache a little bit, once in a while. But I mean, it used to hurt every single day. I mean, it started, I'd get up out of bed in the morning, and I would be hobbling literally like that. I couldn't put any strength in my hip. The doctor told me, I just crossed 40, I had to be about 42 years old. So 11 years ago, he told me, he says, well, in 10 years, you're gonna need a hip replacement. I'm like, man, that's not very good news, man. I'm 42 years old. You're telling me I need a hip? And here I am at 53, and my hip's better today than what it was 10 years ago, 11 years ago. I'm telling you honest to God's truth. And I believe it's because I didn't want to settle with that news. I didn't want to settle with the doctor's report. But I wanted to believe, God, you can do more. You can do it. You can do it. Hey, I may never see anybody raised from the dead. I don't care. I may never see, you know, someone with cancer healed. That's okay with me. I mean, I hope God lets me out. But that doesn't change the fact that I know God can do more and more and more and more and more. Don't get caught up in your battlefield. Don't get so caught up that you don't see any hope for a better tomorrow. Don't get so caught up in your pain and your misery and your bitterness that you can't see that there's a better way, that you can't see that God is able. Don't get so caught up in your mistakes and your sin and your folly that you don't believe that God can do so much more with you. I'm finishing, but I got one picture I always go back to. I got it somewhere in my house. I don't know where it's at. It's me at about 14 years old. Scraggly hair, standing there without a shirt on, skinny as can be, holding this big old fish I caught. I think, wow, God, how far you brought me from then. How much you've done. You've done so much. You've done so much. You've healed so much. You've delivered so many times. You've given me a beautiful family. How could I, God, how could I deserve something like that? And you know what the answer I come to, Brother Jerome? It's not that I deserve it. It's that I was just willing to go back and worship one more time. I was willing to go to the altar one more time and lift my hands. I didn't want to settle. I didn't want to settle with the last good service. But here I am again, Lord.
Maybe I'm standing in the need of prayer, or maybe I'm on a spiritual mountain today. Whatever it is, I don't want to settle. I'm going to keep going back, and I'm here to tell you tonight, I can't do anything more if you won't listen and trust these words. I'm here to tell you that if you keep, Natalie, if you keep worshiping God, you will not have a sickness in your body. I said it publicly, and I'm here to declare it now. I believe it. I've seen it. I see it. I have seen it. I've told you that, but you got to worship Him and worship Him and worship Him. And when you don't feel like worshiping Him, worship Him more, because He is a faithful and just God. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So, the question is, do you want to be a settler? Or do you want to be victorious? The thing about the settlers is I don't think there's one settler that wanted to be there in 400 years. I think they saw a better tomorrow for America. I think they believed there could be more. I know that those that fought in the Revolutionary War, they did so because they believed in a better tomorrow. They believed in a better America. They believed in it. Please don't settle. Please don't settle for where you are now. Please know that God will do more. He will. He will. How do you know? Because I know. I've been there. I've seen it. Seen it in my life. I've seen it in my family's life. I've seen it in so many others. God, help us to see and to believe that settling is for pioneers. It's not for Pentecostal. It's not for the children of God. Let that mind be in us tonight. I want to ask you to stand where you are and don't move just yet. If you're already up here, you're fine. I'm standing so I can give you a head start. I'm asking you to stand so I can give you a head start. Now, my question to you is not, my question is not, do you want to be rich? It's not, do you want everything in your life to be perfect? It's not, do you think you're better than anybody else? My question is only this. If you do not want to be a settler, would you please walk to this altar and just stand? That's it. I'm not saying that you're someone special. I'm not saying you've got to be at this level in your life. I'm just saying if you say, I don't want to be a settler, because you've got to want it. God can't do anything if you don't want it. How's that song go? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. How's it go? Careful, little ears, what you hear. Do you think that you can keep your children on a straight and narrow? I'm talking to you. Do you care enough about your children not to be a settler? They will watch us and they will follow our lead. Whether you think they are or not, they watch us. I learned that a long time ago. I learned that my kids watch everything that I do. Lord, let this mind be in us, that we will not be settlers. Settlers are not for children of God. It's for the pioneers. Thank God I'm not a pioneer. Thank God I wasn't on the Mayflower. Thank God I didn't have to build a shack.
But we don't want to live in those spiritual places either. I don't want to live with my life still in shambles and ruins. I don't want to live with my marriage in shambles and ruin. I don't want to live with my children a wreck and a mess. You say, but Pastor, I don't know what to do. You absolutely do. Go back and worship Him one more time. One more time. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, we need You in this place tonight. Jesus, we need You in this house tonight. We need You to put this mind in us that we will not be settlers, that we will be victorious. We will be mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, not to letting those strongholds rule and dominate my life, not to letting those emotions and those feelings and the effects from abuse or pain or suffering, they will not rule my life, because I will be mighty through God, because that is who He made us to be. That is the door that He opened. That is the hope of His glory that I get to reach for and strive for every day. Don't be a settler tonight, but lift your hands and give God some praise, because He is worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He said, where are the other nine? I don't know where they are, Lord, but I'm here. It's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me believing in Your amazing grace. It's me holding on to the power of Your love. It's me, Jesus.
Nothing like I thought You were. You're better. What a God, what a God. 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 For the lost, they I reach is at your feet, then I've done it all. If the best thing that I've seen is your glory, then I've seen it all. Your love has changed my life, forever satisfied. God, you are mine. If the highest place I reach is at your feet, then I've done it all. If the best thing that I've seen is your glory, then I've seen it all. Your love has changed my life, forever satisfied.
Highest place.
this life could ever satisfy.
This life could ever satisfy God.
Thank you for your presence that was just here tonight, for the word that was just brought before us, Lord. God, I pray that each and every one of us would take this moment, take this time tonight, Lord, take it serious. Our days are not promised to us, Lord. God, we need you. Lord, we need you. I pray that you would just touch our hearts, Lord. Help us to just take this word and apply it to our lives, Lord. God, we give you glory. We give you the praise tonight, Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name.